Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Taiwan Mobile Conference Call on fourth quarter result 2009. Our chairperson today is Ms. Rosie Yu and Mr. Harvey Chen. Rosie, please begin your call and I'll be standing by. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our fourth quarter conference call. Before we started our presentation of fourth quarter results, and let me direct your attention to the first page disclaimer that the information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein, nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, market, or developments referred to in this presentation. Presentation today basically contains a summary of PNL divisional performance and some analysis and financials, and then we will talk about our forecast for this quarter as well as an event update. And first, the next page will give you the result summary that our last quarter, the actual operating revenue is 16.8 billion, and which is compared to our forecast is 96%, but our operating income is 5.1 billion, which is 102% of our guidance. And then our net income is right on target, which is 3.5 billion. EPS is $1.17. EBITDA is 44%. If you look on a total year basis, that you can see that our total revenue was down 1% on a year-over-year basis, with rising handset sales revenue and newly added content agency business partially offsetting the drop in telecom revenue. And we continue to control our costs and expenses effectively, and which help us minimize the impact on the net income arising from the revenue decline. As a result, that we complete the year with a net income of 13.8 billion, or NT dollar $4.66 in terms of EPS. You turn to the next page, which deals with the divisional performance. The first one is our consumer business. In the fourth quarter, our CPG continues seeing a narrowed mobile revenue decline. EBITDA year-on-year change turned positive this quarter from negative in the previous quarters. On our HBG, with growing pay TV content and broadband business, HBG reported a double-digit year-over-year increase in revenue and EBITDA. And it's also worth mentioning that our cable broadband EBITDA margin expanded to 47% in the fourth quarter versus a year ago, which is only 29%. This is primarily due to an economy of scale. As to our enterprise business, our EBG mobile revenue remained stable on a year-over-year basis, while our fixed-line revenue dropped year-over-year last quarter. However, that in terms of EBITDA, that our EBG reported a year-over-year growth due to better control. of operating expenses. The next page is a comparison of the wireless business with our competitors. Our mobile subscriber number rose 2.2% on a year-over-year basis, coming largely from the 114,000 data card subscriber addition. Compared to our closest competitor, we stood out in terms of mobile service revenue, mobile EBITDA margin, as well as total subscribers. And then the next page, in terms of the non-voice value-added services as well as 3G, that we continue our very healthy VAS revenue growth momentum of 24% on a year-over-year basis in fourth quarter. This mainly came from 54% revenue increase from mobile internet users. And then our 3G postpaid subscriber number in fourth quarter exceeded 3.3 million, up 48% on a year-over-year basis and make up 58% of total postpaid. Our 3G data revenue was up 96% from a year ago. And then let me turn the mic over to Rosie to talk about the financials.
Hi, good afternoon. Our fourth quarter operating cash flow rose from a quarter ago, mainly due to the payments of corporate tax in the third quarter last year. The fourth quarter 2009 investing cash outlay was largely for the $1.83 billion in CapEx. In terms of financing activities, total borrowings decreased by $6 billion in the last quarter as we borrowed $3.8 billion of new short-term debt to repay $2.3 billion of syndicate loan and $7.5 billion of corporate bond due. So our total cash capex in 2009 was $6.67 billion. Or 9.7% of revenue, of which $4.88 billion was for mobile, $1.35 billion for fixed line, and $0.44 billion for cable TV. For 2009, we generated $17.28 billion in free cash flow, of which $13.97 billion was used to pay dividends. On the balance sheet analysis, our cash balance remained stable, and net property, plant, and equipment balance at the end of last quarter was down sequentially, with depreciation and write-off higher than CapEx. The 2G's net book value was reduced to $16.9 billion, while 3G's book value rose to $12.6 billion as of the end of last year. With a $6 billion reduction in borrowings in the previous quarter, as mentioned earlier, our gross debt dropped to $15.6 billion, and net debt was down to $12.6 billion. So net debt to equity and net debt to EBITDA was 24% and 0.43 times in 2009. So let me turn this over to Harvey for first quarter guidance.
For this coming quarter, we forecast our total revenue to edge up by 1% on a year-over-year basis, with cable TV, broadband, wireless data, and mobile device sales that will show in growth. Among the three business groups, both CBG and HBG are expected to show positive profit growth first quarter this year. CBG first quarter is estimated to have a flat revenue change from and stable subscriber acquisition and the retention-related expenses. That said, companies' increased number of direct stores will also lead to an increase of operating expense. On a consolidated basis, our G&A expense in first quarter will see a 7% year-over-year increase. Explained by this one-time expense reverse the last year first quarter and our conservative estimate of the better expense. Operating expense in first quarter is estimated to be NT$247 million, down 52% on a year-over-year basis, and with 41% less in asset write-off than a year ago. And some event updates. And I will leave that to you to refer in the next couple of pages. And the key message is that we are able to meet the 2009 guidance through our expense discipline with a firm outlook on the economic front for 2010. We expect to face stiff capital challenges from the regulatory interventions. The approval for the acquisition of Carlyle's cable assets is still pending. Before we get approval, we continue to fine-tune our business to meet the challenges. That wraps up our presentation today. And we will be happy to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now move for questions. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. The first question comes from Terry Chan from Credit Suisse Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I have three questions. The first question is, can you give us some updates on the cable acquisition deal? Where is it up to now, and is there any regulatory hurdles? My second question is, what's the dividend for 2009? And my last question is, do you have any earning estimate impact from the tariff reduction policy which has just been put out by NCC? Thank you.
Not much can be reported on this cable acquisition deal. Right now, we are still waiting for the regulatory approvals, and which is not the most pleasant thing to deal with. But anyway, that we just have to. Hopefully we can work through it, and it's always a challenge to talk to the regulators. I cannot tell you the 2009 dividend at this point, and I think this subject will be discussed in our next board meeting, which is scheduled in late April. And at that time, we will make an announcement on the dividends for the year 2009. And then as far as the earnings impact, right now actually we have done some calculations. But I think we are still waiting for NCC's final decision. And if they are going to do what they want to do, I think it will be impact on the, of the net income in the range of 800 million or so, I think, in terms of on the net income before tax, I think that is the impact.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Vinodatil from RBS Singapore. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I have three questions. First, what's the timetable in your viewpoint in terms of integrating KBRO into your books? Second question I had is with regard to your pay TV subscriber base. What percent of that would actually be impacted by the price cap reduction, and is there any implications on KBRO's areas as well? Last question I had is with regard to the NCC's mandatory price cuts. What do you think is the certainty of them pushing as is, and what can you actually do, or what are you doing to avert this?
I don't have a timetable. Right now, we still don't know that when the regulator is going to approve the deal. We are still wrestling with the regulatory agency. So right now, I really don't have a very clear timetable when we are going to integrate it, the cable that is into our book. I'll leave the rest of the question to Rosie.
On the cable fee reduction announcement made by NCC, it will not affect our own operating areas. It will only affect KBRO's. So about 39% of KBRO's subscriber base will be affected. So.
Okay, last question with regard to the tariff changes.
Sorry?
The last question I had pertained to the tariff changes on the mobile side. What can you actually do in order to mitigate this? Is there any negotiation ongoing with the NCC?
We rather not talk about this because this is not something to be talked about publicly.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from D. Sierra from CLSA Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Thanks very much for the call. Just two questions. The first one being on the operating expenses in the year. You know, down 6%, so that's quite a good effort. Just wondering, within that, what was the sort of the drivers there? What was the areas of the business you really cut costs in? And what can we expect going forward? Will that sort of run rate be continued into 2010? The second question I had was on more on the regulation, corporate law reforms. I know the FSC in Taiwan is looking at making distributions from legal reserve and capital surplus a lot simpler. Do you have any update on that? And if those go through, will you be changing your policy around capital management? Thanks very much.
I think on the corporate law amendment, I think we're looking at the second half this year, or
okay.
Well, I think they're optimistically it's the second half this year.
No. Second half.
Yeah.
Second half. Okay.
And this thing is not in the legislative process, and our legislators are very unpredictable. So, I must stress the word. So, if we take an optimistic view, it's
second half.
It's second half that this year. And whether they will change our capital management policy or not, we actually do not know at this point. I do, really do not see a very aggressive capital reduction.
Okay.
Thank you. This question comes from Kathy Chen from Goldman Sachs Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I have three questions as well. The first one is also on the Cabro acquisition. Is there any update you can share in terms of the updated price for the acquisition? Because if I remember correctly, since you passed the deadline now, there will be a new calculation for the last 12 months EBITDA. The second question is on the CapEx and asset write-off guidance. So for the CapEx guidance, is there anything you can share in terms of how much Cabro would add to the CapEx if the deal closes? And then on the asset write-off side, I think in the prepared comments, you said that would be less than 2009, but is there a more concrete figure? And then lastly, I just had a follow-up on the dividend for 2009 comment. I think on the last call you mentioned that you'll try to maintain a DPS of 4.2. Is that still the board's thinking? Thanks.
Kathy, you are on your third question. I think you are correct that we try to maintain. But what we're saying there is that with or without the deal, that our dividend payment will not be affected. So if you look at our 4.6, that the minus 10% reserve, that's roughly 4.2. Now that's what we're saying. So an estimate, and I think you can say that it should be somewhere, should not be less than that benchmark number. But we haven't decided that whether it will be more or what. That is something remains to be discussed that in our April board meeting. And I will leave the other two questions for Rosie.
On your CapEx question, this year we expect to incur $6.9 billion in CapEx, of which $4.7 billion is mobile related, and $1.6 billion is fixed line related, and the rest the cable. And on your first question of Cabro update on the valuation or price, their EBITDA is expected to grow on a month-on-month basis. So we haven't really calculated the numbers yet because we haven't got their numbers yet. It will be calculated on a last 12 months EBITDA basis. But basically, their monthly EBITDA is growing at about $180 million a month, on a month-on-month basis.
Okay, thanks. Just to follow up on the CapEx side, do we have any guidance available for CapEx related to Cabro?
No, that number does not include any number for Cabro, and we don't have a number from Cabro on their CapEx for this year yet.
Okay, and then just the last one I had was on the asset write-off guidance for this year.
It will be 1.6.
1.5
billion for this year.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Next question comes from Gary Yu from Morgan Stanley Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I just have one last question from my side. Given the delay in Cabro acquisition, do you think the Carlyle Group will be entitled to the 09 dividends, or it will likely be delayed after you declare your dividends in April?
Sorry, can you repeat your question again?
Sure. My question is more related to the Cabro acquisition and how is it going to impact your dividends payout? Because if the transaction is going to be delayed after your dividend payout, would that mean that Carla will not be entitled to your 09 dividends?
Well, it all depends on when the transaction will be closed. If they are closed before the ex-dividend date, they are always entitled to it.
And if there's a need, because I pretty much presume that the previous deal was agreed based on the assumption that Carla will be entitled to the 09 dividend because the initial expectation of completion was by the end of last year. Would that be any impact on your transaction price or any of the terms of the transaction?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Kathy, going back to your question on the price that we are to pay to Cabral. Sorry, the $180 million a month is 10 times already. So its EBITDA is growing at about $18 million a month.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Next, we have a question from D. Sarah from CLSA Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hey, g'day, guys. Sorry about my question previously wasn't answered. Just had a follow-up one on the expenses because you did quite a good job, in fact, a very impressive job on cutting operating expenses in the year down 6%. I'm just wondering, is that expected to be a similar run rate for 2010? And what are the sort of the initiatives being undertaken in the business to cut costs and whereabouts are they? And can you give me a bit more detail on that, please? That's the end of the question. Oh my gosh.
I think I must clarify that we in 2009, the first half, there was this financial crisis that contributed everybody knows who that. So there was a little bit of costs. It's not cutting. It's a costs sharp reduction mode, and that stopped. I think that the end of the first half. That is not the only result. There are other results due to better than expected bad debt ratio, and also we have better control on our retention and handset subsidy expenses and all that. This is sort of, we do whatever we can when we see an opportunity to do so. This is for this coming year, we are basically not in a cost reduction environment. We look to increase of our acquisition numbers. Meanwhile, of course, I think after these years, particularly last year, you should know that we are very, very cost and expenses conscientious. So we will still try to deliver a good number, but I don't think there's a cost reduction run rate there. I think if we continue to do that, our sales and marketing people will raise hell with me.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the number one key for questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is the number one key for questions. Excuse me, Rosie, there seems to be no further question at this point in time. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further question, I just want to thank you all attending this conference call and also wish you all that have a very happy new year for the year 2010. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes the conference.